Blog Talk Radio.
information that we're going to hand out tonight is going to be for our edification for the body of Christ, because God don't want us to go around here ignorant of sage advice, because we may not be in a right place, or we think we're in the right place. After tonight, we're going to have some corrections on the life we're living and the life we need to live. Like I said, I'm going to start in my house first so you all can apply it to yourself. But I'm grabbing on to everything first because I said it earlier and I'm going to say it again. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Not saved like, not kind of saved, not somewhat saved. I want to be saved. I want, when my name is mentioned, I want God to smile. I don't mind rested. I want to be saved. So if you all not getting it, I just want to be safe. I said I want to be saved. I come from a family of sanctified, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled women and men in my family. That's what I come from. That's what I know. So that's what I want to have in my life. I want my son to see me live like that. So whatever I have to do to get to that place, I'm going to do it because I'm reaching out to make sure. I want to be saved. So what we're going to do right now is, it is 8:10. I am going to introduce the psalm, present to others, and tell everybody about this lady here. Her name is Toni Montgomery, but I've been knowing her all my life. When I met her, she was Toni Seabury. She is the first cousin of mine that when me and my sisters were young, she used to call her babies. Now, I always say that I was the perfect kid. I was perfectly awful. I was a bad kid. And I'm saying that to say, when we say God, if God could save me, he could save anybody, I'm one of those examples. So I'm saying that to say this. When nobody else wanted to be bothered with me, Toni would say, give me my babies. She wouldn't pull us over like, oh, Lord, I don't want to be bothered. She did it with a smile, and she did it with love. And to this day, she still calls us, me and my sisters, her babies. So I don't talk about other people's lives. I'm telling you about my life. You know, and one thing I learned about Mother Montgomery is that you can be openly honest with her, and even with corrections, she'll do it with a smile. Oh, love and kindness have I drawn thee. She will make you want to come to her, even when you know, I might not like what I'm on here, but I know it's going to come with love from the heart. So I want to introduce you all again to Missionary Mother Toni Montgomery, who is my co-host, and I'm going to give it to her so she can open up with prayer, and we can go from there. Mother, are you ready?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are going to start just putting ourselves on the altar this morning, this evening, before the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We lift you up. We glorify you, for you are mighty and great. We thank you, Lord God, for just this time that we, Lord God, might come together and to meditate on your word, that we have come, Lord God, that we might be strengthened in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives tonight, that you, Lord God, will manifest yourself in every word that we say. Lord, let it not be us. Let us decrease that you might increase, that this conversation will be holy unto you, that it will give you, Lord God, first place. It will help magnify the lives of your children, that we, Lord, might be strengthened by your word, and that will give us the opportunity to walk in a way that will let others look on and see our lives and glorify you. Daddy, we want more of you. So, Lord, we surrender everything to you, every thought, every idea. We're saying, Holy Spirit, have your way. And in the end, Lord, we're going to give you glory and praise. These things we ask in Jesus' name, Amen.
Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank you,
Thank you, Renee.
Looking in. Yes, ma'am.
I'm trying to. I'm gonna have to turn off the Facebook because I'm distracted. Let me turn that off.
Okay. All right. While you're doing that, I'm going to say
we're gonna work on that dual screen. Okay.
Okay. I want to say thank you for tuning in to our cousin. I'm gonna call her Missionary Beulah Bolden from Mississippi for watching in. Yes, Beulah. I want to say thank you to my God. Combs for watching in. You all share this. Like I said, I come from a family of great women and men of God. I can't run any longer. I can't run any farther because, see, when God has a calling on your life, you have to do what he tell you to do. You could either do it when you're young or you could do it when you're old, but I want to tell you one thing. I don't want to have left this world without doing what I was told to do. Because I always say, somebody is watching you. Outside of God, somebody's watching you. So I had called Missionary, and we talked, and I was telling her what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about family.
Yeah.
And we started, you know, talking a little bit, and she was asking me exactly what I wanted to do. What I meant by talking about family, and I said, well, we're going to start it from the top. I was talking about the difference between being satisfied and being called wifey when you should want to be called wife.
Mm-hmm.
When you should want to be the wife instead of being satisfied with somebody saying, you my wifey. What's the benefits? Satisfying of being called hubby when you should be husband. What are the benefits? So she shared some things with me, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to let the mother start it off, and then I'm going to join in because with this situation here, I have some things we may share in this conversation, or I'm going to dedicate this month on Mondays to family with marriage. We're going to dedicate that. And myself and others are going to get free starting off the month of the year 2021, really. That's what I meant to say. In 2020 and start 2021 off with leaving that behind because we're moving towards the new year. God is going to do some new things in us. And, Mother, would you go ahead, please?
Yes. Well, you know, we're going to talk about family. And as I was getting ready for this session tonight, I was preparing dinner for Ron and James. Both are right now under the weather. And I noticed that the directions on the container that I was using, the maker gave specific directions for optimal use of this product. And it really brought to mind the subject that we're going to talk about tonight, and that is what direction have we been given about family and marriage? And a lot of times we are given directions, and what we do is that we ignore it and we do whatever we want to, and then we want to know why it doesn't work. And so we're going to talk about what did God say about family. I'm not going to make it up. I'm going to go back to the old time way. Y'all don't mind. So we can go back and we're going to sort of establish what God says about family. And he starts it off. He starts it off in Genesis. And if you would join me, I'm going to Genesis 1 and 27. And I didn't got too many Bibles out. You know, when you get to studying and you got too many things, it sort of gets in the way. So I'm going to see if I can find.
Right.
And I want to start there because, you know, when we start to study, we always start in the scripture with the rule of first mention, saying when and where was it first mentioned in the Bible? Marriage and family first is mentioned as a part of creation. God had us in the plan. He had this idea of how he wanted to establish his kingdom on earth. And so he did that in such a way that when we go to Genesis 1 and 27, it says, so God created man in his image, in his own image, in his image of, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. He didn't make up nothing else. I know we got all these other definitions of family. We're going to talk about it another time. But right now, we're going to say what the Lord says about it, right? And not only
right.
did he do that, he said, okay, this is how I'm going to establish my kingdom. And so what does he do? In the 28th verse, after he creates male and female, he gives them both roles. So we have roles that we're going to talk about tonight. And he said, and then God blessed them and said to them, wait, what did he do first? He blessed them.
Right.
And then he said, I'm going to give you something to do. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. He wanted us to rule.
Yes.
He wanted us to fill, and he wanted us to master what he has given us. Now, one of the things I really want to make sure that we understand here is that God didn't create man and woman separately. He created us equally. So the responsibility of marriage and family is equal. There is no 50-50 in this. We have to give our whole self to it. So sometimes we struggle with that idea that I've got to submit my full self to this union. Now, I want you to hear me. Not to this man and not to this woman, but this union under God. Different concept. And so he wanted us to rule. To rule, we have to be in alignment with him. Now, one of the things that I really want to stress, and this is what we talked about, is that there is a difference between a covenant and a contract. And right now, the world has us thinking about marriage as a contract. God, he said that marriage was a covenant. That means it was holy unto him. It happens with a blood commitment. That's why the marriage bed is undefiled. That's why you have the marriage night. That's why you have that time when you come together sexually as a couple, and that because that is a covenant. There is a no contract clause. When I say that, it's like God did not and did not plan for us to divorce. And I know some people just go with me. Just go with me. This is the scripture. You can beat me up later, but you know, you can tell God about it. That's what he said. Now, my husband always says, and I have to thank the Lord for my covering my husband, and I'm sorry I did not say that 46 years, that my husband has always said that we're in a no-cut contract in a deal. He said one of us is going to walk the other one to the grave.
Okay.
That's commitment. That means that I don't care how much I don't like him on days, I have to stay here and figure it out. Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know that I get on his nerve as much as he probably thinks he gets on mine. That is a part of figuring out what God wants us to do. And so what I go back and I think about, and this goes back to that wifey and that hubby role. I tried to look that up now, Renee. I tried to look it up, tried to figure it out. You know, I went to the Urban Dictionary, tried to wrap my head around it. So you're gonna help deal with that concept. But I want us to realize that this whole concept of husband and wife is a role that God created in the beginning. And so it is how he created it. He gave us position first in Genesis 1. Then he stepped into Genesis 2, and now he defines it. He puts skin on it. He puts bones on it. He says, let me let you know that now that I have put this concept out there, now I am going to give it full body. I am going to create a man. So he blows, he takes the dirt, he blows into the nostrils, and he creates a man. Now he creates a man out of dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Check this out. Then he puts that man to sleep. And where does he create us? We come out the side. We the rib.
Yeah.
I know Jesus, he had to be a brother. He had to have a rib. Just think about it. Oh, never mind. Anyway, that's my little sad joke. Okay. So he gave the woman full meaning when he takes the rib out of man and gives her full meaning. He creates the concept and he gives us full meaning. Our meaning is to be a helpmate.
Yeah.
And then, not only that, he then defines the relationship that he plans for man and woman to have together. So he goes on in Genesis 2 and 24. And so he says, so a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become what?
One.
Now, that has been where we have continued to struggle all the days of our lives. We could be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Is that God wants oneness. And he represents this in the light where he puts two people of opposite likenesses. It's funny when my husband and I work with couples and you sit down and you look at the couples and they are so opposite. I mean, one is A type and the other one is N type. I know there's no real N. But, you know, they're just at the opposite ends of this continuum of being able to be alike. And that's what draws them to each other. Y'all got that? By design, God does it. Because he wants to be the binding factor in the relationship. He doesn't want the man to be it. He doesn't want the woman to be it. He wants to be the binding factor. He wants to be that third core. It says, the one may overpower and two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So in Ecclesiastes 4 and 12, God gives us really the key to how to make our marriages work, how to make it work. And that is the part that has always been out of joint, because when we get into Genesis 3, and we're not going to talk about that tonight, is that when sin enters in, but God sets us up for success. He sets us up for man and woman to be equal partners in the work. And so when we talk about that partnership, now we talk about those roles. What roles? When we talk about husband and wife, what are the roles of husband and wife? So let's get more into that wifey and hubby. Talk to me about that, Renee. Talk to me more about that.
Okay. I listen to, like, family members and young people I know, and they'll say, yes, that's my hubby, or, yeah, I'm his wifey. Or the guy say, that's my wifey. I'm like, wifey? Don't you mean wife? Mm-hmm. They're like, nah, that's my wifey. So the convenience, I'm like, so you live in a convenient life. When you need her or need him and want her or want him, they're hubby and wifey. But when you tired of them, you can just let them go and move on without the obligation or the, how do you say, or the preparations of letting go and walking away. They could just walk away, like, shake the dust, wash their hands, and just throw away the dirty towel. You know, with that being said, like, I really don't, I don't want to be nobody's wifey.
Mm-hmm.
Because being a wife, there's benefits in the natural as well as in the spiritual. And even once you divorce, but yet you stay together. There's so many reasons for divorce. You know, people have reasons, different reasons of situations that come up that cause the divorce, but yet it's still the person and the woman and the man don't separate physically or mentally. You understand? You know what I'm trying to say?
Well, you're connected.
Right, because when it talks about soul ties, you know, no matter how many people you've been with, you have a soul tie with. But when you get with the person that God has anointed you and appointed you to be with, and even if you try to separate, that's like with me and Stan. Even though we went through what we went through because of the situation we was in, that it was said we was never going to be together again, we divorced, but yet and still we never divorced on paper, but not divorced in heart. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but what the deal is, he don't call me wifey. He calls me wife.
Okay.
I don't call him hubby. I call him husband. Yet it's still, we are together trying to get back to the place of man, a husband and wife. And I'm only saying that because, like I said, I don't want people to think that all my I's are dotted, all my T's are crossed, because I said my ministry is going to start first here at home. And I want to make sure people understand when you a wife, if something happens, you get the benefit of being that wife. Your name is on a whole lot of stuff, especially if you know the state that you live in, that you married in.
Right.
But if you a wife, all you get is hopefully the letters that came with the address on it. That's it. When you a hubby, same way. There's no benefits to you. We're talking in the natural now. There's no benefit to you, because if something happens to her, all you're going to get is hopefully an address with a letter that a letter came in, because you get no benefits there. But when you're married on paper, that's also the law of the land, but it's also the law of the word of God. Because after God created the heavens and the earth, he created, if I'm not mistaken, Mother said, after he created everything that had to be on the earth, he then created man and woman, and that he put them together to be a helpmeet for each other. So my thing with wifey and hubby, I'm still trying to figure it out, because I don't know the benefits of being a wifey or being a hubby. You know, that's a place where I'm even shut down at.
Well, that's because when you take, and I'm going to say that Satan is good about this, he will take the truth and shift it. Just like he told Eve in the garden, he said, now, he didn't really mean you're going to die. Well, if I can take, let's go to Colossians 3 and 18. Let's sort of talk about, it says, wife, be subject to your husband. And I'm using Amplified Bible here. Out of respect for their position as protector and their accountability to God. So see, there's some order there that we've got to look for. As is proper and fitting in the Lord. Now, that's the wife's role. Wife. Husband, love your wife with an affectionate, sympathetic, selfless love that always seeks the best for her or them. And do not be embittered or resentful towards them because of the responsibility of marriage. There comes some responsibility that goes along with marriage. That if I can redefine that role as wifey and husband, and hubby, I don't have to take on that responsibility. And then, in the midst of that, if we decide to have, if children are born to that union, because if they're together, Then it says, children, obey your parents.
Yes.
As God's representative in all things. So we've got some order that's going on here. So a wife's role, and if we go back to the original, Galatians, but it is Genesis. When we talk about Genesis, it talks about that the wife, when God created his helper, his helper. The helper was created to be his, mom and them used to always say that he was, that we are the neck. The husband is the head and we're the neck, and he can't turn and do anything without us. And so, but in the scripture, it says that, you know, that when they use the term, this Hebrew term, helper, it is also the term that they often refer to as God as being our helper. So it is put us as wife, as women, in the place of really helping and upholding our husbands. And it's the same for them, to help us. You know where the scripture says in 2 and 18 that the Lord said it's not good for man to be alone. So he made them a suitable helper. It's not good for women to be alone. Need to have that union. We want that. We desire. We seek that. And so if the world can redefine what husband means and what wife means, then they've taken God's concept and they have now distorted it and made it something that is not pleasing to him. So I can adjust it, but it goes back to what you're saying. Do they really get the benefits from that? So if I go over to Ephesians 5 and 22, it says the wife, Ephesians 5 and 22, the wife to be her husband, not a, let me see if I got this right, it says, wives, be subject to your own husband as a service to the Lord. Now, I want you to think about what I'm saying in the light of how people talk about wives and husbands today. This is not to be a drudgery. This is to be a service. We are to outserve our mate. So he's outserving us, and we're outserving them. It says, for husbands, is the head of the wife. It gives us position as Christ is the head of the church, himself being the savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives should be subject to their husband in everything, respecting both their position as protector and their responsibility to God as the head of the household. So we're looking to husbands to be priests. We're looking for them to be the protectors, the providers. We're looking to them for security. That is what that's what we are going to seek as wives. And husbands are going to look. Husbands, they're going to love your wives. You're going to seek their highest good. You're going to look. You're going to surround them with that care and love and unselfless love. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. This concept is really difficult for a lot of brothers, and I don't mean brothers just black, I just mean men, to really sometimes embrace, because it's requiring a sacrifice, a full sacrifice. And until I got to Oak Cliff, I didn't really understand what this meant. Mr. Evans explained it to us, as he did a series on family, and he basically said the man is responsible for everything. He's responsible for rearing the children, for discipline, for education. He's responsible for the entire household. I almost fell off my chair. I said, excuse me? He says he's responsible. Your job as the wife is to come alongside and help him.
Yes.
I was like, oh, my goodness. So his job is to make sure that there's food on the table, but he's also there to nurture his wife. He's there to take care take on all of those roles as Christ did for the church. Now think about that. Christ died for the church.
Yes, he did. Gave his life.
His life. That is the husband's role. And so that's a heavy role to take on. That's a responsibility. And so it gets to be a place where we want our husbands to take on that role, and sometimes they have not really studied and stepped into understanding what it means to be a man of God and a husband in that role. So they struggle with it. And we struggle with them, and we want to beat them over the head. I'm not talking about y'all. I'll talk about me. Okay. And so it's like, don't you get it? Don't you understand? This is the role I need for you to play. And it's like we almost suffocate them with all the, you ain't doing. You ain't doing this right. You ain't doing that right. You know, there's a scripture that says you can win your husband without a word.
Yes. That's so true.
And sometimes as a wife, we just need to be quiet.
Yes.
And not have the last say, but let God have the last say.
That's what a lot of us need to learn, to be quiet. LaSonya Allen on Facebook says, a wifey is a man's girlfriend and not his true wife. So I assume if the wifey is the man's girlfriend and not a true wife, then the husband, the hubby is a woman's boyfriend and not a true husband. So,
but if they're getting all the benefits, this is an old cliche. He says, so why should I buy
the cow when you get the milk
cow
free?
Is free? When the milk is free, there you go. Why should I buy the cow when the milk is free? So if we go into a relationship, and this is where we as women have to say, no, you don't get none of this. You got to bring it. You either you put a ring on it, who was it, Beyonce? Put a ring on it, or go about your way. You know?
Right.
And for the sake of us wanting to be wanted, we give up everything for this idea to have a, not just a boyfriend, but if we're having a hubby or a husband-like friend, if he's getting all of the benefits, then the scripture says that we out of order. I know people don't want to hear about this idea of adultery, but the Bible is ancient of days, and it changes not. It just doesn't. And I know we are living in a time when anything goes. It's like somebody, I was talking to them about this idea of transgender relationships, and they were saying, well, where do you get your standard from? And I said, from the Bible. Conversation was over at that point.
Right, because,
because
I don't. A lot of times I don't understand when people want us to compromise what the Bible says and say, well, this is a new time, a new age. But I, like you say, the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun. That God is the same today, tomorrow, forever. So, like I said, I'm just asking for myself as well as I'm just wanting to make sure others can understand that we're in the time and place that we have to make sure we take it back to the old time way. We go back to what God has said. We got to take it back to being in order, being in place with God's word. We have to make sure that we're doing that in all areas. And if we're in a place where we need to be corrected or correction, we can't be ashamed to ask. We can't even be ashamed expose ourselves. You don't let someone else expose you. You don't let someone else see in a place and be like, well, see you. No, let God get the glory, the honor, and the praise, because when you say, I said no more, when you mean more, you're going to expose yourself. And you're going to say, God, I need help, and I know others need help, so I'm not going to just give my opinion. I'm going to give the word, I'm going to stand on the word, and I'm going to get with somebody that you have appointed and anointed to help bring deliverance to the body of Christ. Because when God comes back, he's coming for his church.
Oh, yes, he is.
And we're not going to be able to say, well, I was going to say it, I was going to tell it, but see, ain't no but see. I don't care what you think. Think this. I want to be saved. I'm going to do what I have to do to be saved. I don't care what box you try to put me in or box you try to put me under. God said to say it, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to apply it to me first. I love the fact that Mother Montgomery is not someone that's going to say it sugar-like. You know what I mean by sugar-like, trying to sweeten it up, sweeten it out there. This is what the word says. Come on and go with me. Turn to it and read it for yourself. Apostle Alexa Celia Kaiser says, I know she writes long stuff, so she says, greeting example. Oprah and Stedman and many others have entered these types of relationships in order not to lose the benefits that they earn from previous marriage or court ordered divorce. A lot of times we have to go back, like she was saying, Oprah and Stedman. You have to go back and think about, okay, why did we get a divorce? If he finds favor in your sight, the word of God says, put him not away. If I'm not mistaken, that's in 2 mm-hmm. Corinthians. Yes, Stan has favor in my sight. I have favor in his sight. I don't want to be in a place of undecidedness. I don't want to be in a place where God is not getting the glory and the honor. I'm making sure God gets the glory and the honor, because a lot of times we're afraid to let people know I'm on the altar, and I'm on the altar for my life. See, a lot of people don't realize when they say I'm laying on the altar, let them know you're laying on the altar for your life.
Yeah.
Not just your life right now, but your afterlife, my life with Christ. I'm on the altar because I want to be saved.
Yeah.
And if anybody else finds themselves in this situation or in a situation, any situation, we're letting you know that no matter what you think of or whatever you're going through, it's in the Word. The answers are in the Word. All you got to do is open your mouth. Open your mouth and be for real and be serious when you ask God for help. Don't ask for help like. Ask God for help. And I thank God that Mother Montgomery has been here to help me and help you all out. Because, like I say, we're ending. This is the last Monday of the year. I told you all, stick with me. God is going to do something before this year is up. And what God is doing is ending the old, because he's starting out a new beginning with 2021. You're not going to go in 2021 saying you didn't have a clue. We're going to let you leave 2020 with the visual sight of 2020, that you will see that God is calling his people in order. He's starting with the family. He's starting back in Genesis.
Yeah.
He didn't create the heavens and the earth. He put family first. We'd have to go back and pull family back. It ain't in the hands of the government. It's in the hands of Christ. And that's all we're trying to do. Mother, do you have anything else you would like to say?
I do. I want us to leave with this idea that we're going to have to talk about communication. That's a whole nother thing. But there are benefits of doing God, but doing marriage and being in doing it God's way. And so God has things that he works out in powerful marriages. And one of them, as you were talking about, is reconciliation. God is all about, God didn't want divorce. He wants reconciliation, and that is what he's constantly giving us. He wants oneness versus isolation. And so he moves in that theme in marriages. He wants service so we could outserve one another. He wants forgiveness, where we'll take on the character and the order of God, that we will seek God's unity, that he wants unconditional love, that we will totally commit ourselves to him and his plan. And so as we walk out of 2020, I want us to embrace the word of God. God didn't come to give us black eyes. He came us to give. He came to give us life in it more abundantly. There is abundant life in doing it God's way. And you know what? At any point, he says, wait, 1 John 1:9, he put it in the Bible for me. He says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just and ready to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he is a God that's ready to reconcile and to cleanse us and to prepare us to move forward in him. There is no want in him. And so my desire is that we walk away wanting more Christ. So I want you to think about this. What one thing do you want to put on the altar about your relationship with Christ that will bless your relationship with your husband, with your ex-husband, with your ex-spouse? What one thing can you give to the Lord that will help either reconcile that situation or make it a better situation for his glory? This ain't about you. It's not about us. This is about him. Our marriages are about reflecting God. It is not about us. I know, and there's stories I have to ask my husband for permission to tell. But you've got to know that it is about God. And he is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle.
Yes.
And we will be ready. We will be ready. We will be ready. I know. I get long winded. Y'all pray for me. I'm finished. I'm through. I got a whole lot more, but at another time. Hallelujah.
Well, I thank God for you on tonight, Mother Montgomery. I thank God for putting this in my heart, and I'm just so glad. I'm not worried about what people think about me or what people have to say, because I know if I'm caught in a certain place, other people may be caught, or other people may be in places, and they may say, God, I didn't even think about it like that, because everybody wants to tell us about prosperity. There's prosperity in marriage. There's prosperity in family. Yeah. There's prosperity in asking God for guidance. There's prosperity in asking God for forgiveness. So all prosperity may not be dollars and cents. Some may just be where you come to the sense that you that say, God, this is where I'm at. And I don't want to go into the new year in the same old place. I can't look for new things, and I'm carrying old weight. That's like a new wine in an old bottle.
Oh,
it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work.
Yeah.
It's going to bust
open.
I'm looking for God to do new things. I said on my Facebook page, I'm looking for something new in 2021.
Oh, yeah.
But I had to come to the conclusion I had to leave some old stuff in 2020 and expose it for to get the new in 2021.
Oh, so
I can say, if you're willing to and we're able to, let's do this for the whole month of January. Just dedicate Monday nights to family as far as marriage, because we can't get it all in like the 30-minute show or like on TV. It ain't like that.
No, it's not.
God is going to do some things, and if everybody be faithful to his word, this is the Bible. If you open it up, it looks like this. It has chapters, words in it. It has, you know, places that you can go to. You know, I have a dates Bible that I'm learning how to use, because I want what God has for me, and deliverance is the first thing he has. I thank you all for joining myself and Minister. I'm sorry. I thank you all for joining me, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, and Missionary Mother Toni Montgomery. This is our first night doing Mondays, the fourth Monday of every month. Please join us on the fourth Monday of January. That's going to be our Monday that we're going to talk, but I'll be so excited to share this with you all. And when I say for the whole month of January, I want us to devote that to whenever you're studying, study the word of God about marriage, about family, and just ask God to correct, protect, and provide. Just let him correct every situation that you know is not under the law of God. And provide all the knowledge you can get with Google it, the Word of God, and protect what you have put into you. Don't let someone else come and take it out. Depend on God to send the leadership and the guidance that you need and receive it when you know it's from God, because if you get in his Word, you will know it's from him. You won't receive no other doctrine. Thank you all for being faithful to this ministry for the year 2020. We love you all. We thank you all. The ministry has grown. It's still growing. I thank God for everything he's doing. We're going to be here on Friday. This will be the Friday coming up. We're going to just let God have his way on that Friday.
New Year's Day.
I gotta look at
New
the
Year's
calendar.
Day.
That's New Year's
it's
Day.
It's New Year's Day.
Yes. So I'm going to be on Facebook on Friday, New Year's, whether you all tune in or not. You can look at it live, hopefully, or you can look at it before you go for celebrations. But for New Year's Day, Friday night, I will be celebrating God on that day. I will be giving him the glory, the honor, and the praise. That's what I'll be doing for my New Year. I want y'all to know I'm serious about this thing. I'm serious about being saved. I'm serious about coming before God. So I'm going to start my New Year off with God and ministry. That's going to be my Friday night. Please share that. Please join me. And then we're going to be here that Sunday, which will be the first Sunday of the year, which will be the 3rd of January. So join us, the Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser, along with with Minister Sheila Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser. Join us for that. Then we want you to come back that Monday and join us again. That will be our first Monday, which will be Dr. Serena Wright. And I'm just telling you all, God is going to do something for you all in this year. Before then, the year ain't up yet. You know, even the Lord said something before the 9th hour, before the 11th hour. He did something in his last time on the earth. But I want you all to know what God is going to do. He's going to bring life to a dead situation. All you got to do is let him know. All you got to do is just give it over to God. A mother asked me, what could I put on the altar before God? I'm going to have to just be quiet and just lay myself before God and say, I'm yours, Lord. Here I am. Lord, what would you have me to do? If God just tell me to just shut up and read his word and do what he tell me to do on the certain nights that he have me on ministry, that's all I'm going to do. I have to learn how to be quiet so I can hear God. And she also taught us on tonight that sometimes you can be quiet to win over. You better know that it's power in silence. Think about how you feel when somebody ignore you or don't say nothing to you, when they just be silent. You don't know what's going on. All I know is what's going on with me when I'm quiet. God is going to be doing his work in me. I want you all to be prayerful for the remaining of this year. Prayer works. We want to shut it down. Shut down all the nonsense that's going on out here in the world. Let's come into prayer, people. I'm going to hand it back over to Mother Montgomery so she can give her final words and pray us out, and just know God is able. Mother?
Oh, yes, he is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to give honor to those who the honor is due, and to Cecilia, and I don't know all the titles, so I'm gonna get all it right. Y'all should give me a time, and Sheila and Renee, thank y'all so much for inviting me to be part of this ministry. I know that God has something that he wants to teach me, and so I'm willing to learn as well. And so I'm going to close out in prayer, and I'm just going to ask a blessing on this ministry. And God, that you would bless these young women as they step into your presence the more, as they depend the more on you, as they, Lord God, give that ultimate sacrifice of their lives to your ministry. So, God, you see what they, Lord God, stand in need of financially, Lord God, spiritually, Lord. You see physically, you see what they stand in need. So we ask, God, that you meet them at that point of need. If there be any sick, Lord, among us, we ask, God, that you touch, heal, and deliver according to your word. We ask that you send healing to your children. Oh, God, we need you as never before. Protect and keep, put a hedge of protection around each member that listened here today, the family members, Lord God. You know, Lord, where we are and what we need. In this time of trouble, we are asking you, Lord God, to deliver us. Lord, keep us ever in your care. Bless, and we're going to be careful to give your name praise. We thank you. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I forgot to give our foundational scripture on tonight.
Yes.
Give me, that's Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I forgot to ask if anybody on Blog Talk had any comments they wanted to make on tonight or say to myself and Mother Montgomery. Please, if you do, speak now, please. Hello?
Hello?
Good evening, Saints. This is Minister Margo. I just want to thank the women of God for going forward tonight, for blessing all those who are listening and all those who will listen. And I will be praying for you as you tackle this subject of marriage. Wow, that's a big one. We need as much information as we can about relationships and that primary relationship, which is the one that we are forging with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for sharing with us tonight. And just want you to know that I'm praying for you and for this ministry. I love you.
Amen. Love you. Thank you. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you. I thought I heard my husband out there. You can hear my husband.
Hello?
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 Go ahead.
Okay, do you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Good evening, everyone. And I just want to thank my wife for the word about marriage. And and she's my wife. Not my wife yet. And I think that the wife is the formal, the formality that we use to describe the relationship. Folks can play with each other, but about the wifey and the hubby. But let's keep it real. I'm talking about the ones that have stood before God and mankind and family and the government circles, because that's who's all involved at the marriage ceremony. And a promise to love, honor, and obey each other for the rest of their lives. And my wife kids me because I call it a lifetime no-cut contract, but that's just a comparison of what you get if you go to a really good football or baseball team, and if you're a really good player, you want to make sure you've got you signed up for life. And I just tell her that that's the way our relationship is, because she is the best it could ever be, and she's not going anywhere. And so she is my wife for life, and that's the way we approach our relationship. Any types of discourse that happens in the marriage. The marriage is never threatened. We have to just dig in and dig deep with each other and find out what the solutions to those things are. And we always, always, always work together in finding those solutions. And the first thing that we do is we turn to the scripture. And we remember that the word in the scripture about the strongest rope is a three-strand rope. And it's she, me, and Jesus Christ to make the three. And he amongst the three is the strongest. And so we just cling to him, and we cling to the marriage. And I just appreciate the word tonight. It reassures me that my baby ain't going nowhere, and I feel good about that. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
As I said, thank you, T.D. Jakes. Is there anyone else who would like to speak at this time?
This is Cecilia. I just want to say thank you all for talking about the covenant of marriage, and I look forward to us going out of the year talking about marriage and starting the first month of the year about marriage, and then we're also ministering on Sundays and praying for the single parents, for those that are able to move into the covenant of marriage and those that have been single parents based off of a death or whatever reason. So this is so in line with what God has us addressing and ministering to his people on. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Minister Sylvia, and thank you so much, Missionary Tony. We appreciate you so very much. And also to your wonderful husband and your children and sisters, Minister Margo and everyone.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you. We are honored. Yeah, I'm
yes. Is there anyone else at this time would like to speak? Okay, well, thank you all for tuning in on Facebook as well. And thank you all for sitting and lasting with us on Facebook. Thank you all on Blog Talk. Mother has spoken. And we are just going to go on and end this with saying we love you with the love of the Lord. Keep this ministry in your prayers and stay focused on what God is doing in the family. And we just want to say good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.